I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three, two, one, and holy shit. We're back, and man, I said it before and I'm going to say it again. You know, there's some times when all the stars and all the planets align and you could just feel that a monster episode of the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast is right in front of you. And I feel like this could possibly be one of those times. There's been so much going on in the last few weeks. So much going on just today. So many thoughts, so many opinions. I don't even know what to say, but if you don't know who I am Michael Rappaport, and my partner, the 2015 podcast co-host of the year, his name is Gerald Moody.
Yes.
They call him G. Moody.
Yep.
You know that I was out in New York City, and a loyal listener, my man Buscemi. If you don't know the Buscemi shoes, he saw Dean Moody, your brother, also rhymes with duty, and he thought it was you. He got excited like he was meeting a real celebrity. I don't know what to say. They call me the Gringo Mandingo. They call me the White Arsenio Hall. My partner's name is Gerald Moody from the Brownsville section of Brooklyn.
Yes.
They call him the Black Ed McMahon. And this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Let's get into something funky right now, real quick. All right. Shit, man. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start with this one, Monetti. But I'm going to start with some sad news. The obvious. There's been so many deaths of so many important, great people meaningful people. This year, it's been a crazy year. Not even just 2016, the last year in whole, but 2016 has been nuts.
Yeah.
We just learned the other day that the great soul singer Billy Paul, you probably absolutely know the song Me and Mrs. Jones.
Yes, man.
Amongst others, Philadelphia singer, Gamblin' Huff, Prodigy. Mm. His music is on the Cuff Music playlist that we have on Spotify, KKUFF on my playlist. It's open to the public. I think it's 50 or 51 soul sex bangers. If you're looking to freak off, if you're looking to settle down, if you're looking to calm your nerves or your lady's nerves or your man's nerves, you can check out the Cuff playlist on my playlist. Michael Rapaport is open to the public on Spotify. The great Billy Paul led a good life, older guy. So, you know, it wasn't so sudden. So, really, really shout out to the one of the great soul singers, Billy Paul from Philly.
Yes.
And Dwayne Pearl Washington, who we've talked about many times on this podcast. New York City basketball legend. And when they say the word legend, he's truly was a legend. The hype and hysteria around Pearl Washington when he was coming out of Boys and Girls High School was crazy. This is in the 80s, so there's no internet, there's no computers. You heard about him before you saw him. I know he was in the same class as Chris Rock at Boys and Girls High School, but more importantly, G Monetti, you used to see. When was the first time you saw Pearl Washington play? And explain the demographics of how far away he lived from you in Brooklyn.
Well, he lived basically across the street from where we used to play basketball in the park. So it wasn't far. And when we used to play outside in the park, Pearl used to come and play with the older guys like World Be Free and all those guys. So we used to see them play in the summer. You know, after we would play, then Pearl would play with World and all the big guys. So that's when I first really saw him play, and it was phenomenal.
And like, I mean, a lot of times I would miss it. Like, I wouldn't be there. And like, I know you'd see him play before I even knew you. Like, what was it like to see him in the front row of the park in Howard Projects, where the court was small, it was tight? Yo, this is street basketball. Like, yo, when you talk about basketball, competitive basketball, New York City basketball, they always talk about Rucker, as they should. They always talk about West 4th Street, as they should. They always talk about Dykeman, as they should. They always talk about Soul in the Hole, which is 5 minutes away from Howard. But the most competitive, most physical, aggressive, and, you know, just the competition and the skill I ever saw up close was in Howard Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you grew up in that. What was that like? Like, watching Dwayne Pearl Washington, like, what was that like? Like, what do you remember? Is there anything you specific? Like was it everything that you it was cracked up to be?
It was the handle.
He had it.
I saw him in a high school game. I saw him play in a high school game. My man took me to see him, yo. And the handle was incredible. Like, breaking the press. One guy breaks the press time and time again.
That was a real thing, right?
Yeah, and they have to call it off. That happened with Georgetown.
Right.
Can you imagine that? The handle was so butter that he has to call off the press.
That's crazy.
So I seen that up close as a little kid. I remember seeing that, like, uncanniness for handling the ball.
Well, the great Pearl Washington succumbed to brain cancer. I mean, a legend, a true legend, a true influencer. When it comes to basketball, he brought the crossover culture to the mainstream. Until someone can prove me different and show me that in-and-out move, that now it's just the start of a crossover. But right. everybody took it to the next level. The Tim Hardaways, the Iversons, the Nick Van Exels, the Kemba Walkers, the Steph Currys, the random dudes on Instagram, the random dudes in the sixth grade. Dwayne Pearl Washington started that shit. Look him up. Sad day. Good guy. I know you know I met him a couple of times. Moody, you know you would see him all the time. Always a sweetheart of a dude.
Yeah. Good
totally dude. Humble. And it's a sad day, when he passed, Pearl Washington. And of course, Prince. I mean, shit. So much has been said about this guy. He's a part of everybody's life. The music. We don't even need to discuss the
music. The music speaks for itself.
The funk. Yo, if you check out Prince, he brought the funk. Like, his music became popular music, but if you look at what he started off as, it was straight funk, Parliament funk, sex funk, yep. 70s funk.
His own funk.
Yeah, and then he took it to another level and another place. And the thing that's crazy about Prince is that, you know, that I want to talk about and celebrate is not just the man and the music, but it's we lost a great American stick man.
Oh, yeah.
Truly, truly one of a kind Coxman. Mm. Aside from
maybe
everything,
the best.
That's up for discussion. He may be one of the best of all time. And he's definitely in top five. When you think about top five Coxmen of all time, you could throw around names like Jack Nicholson, of course, the great Derek Jeter, a consummate stick man. He did it for years and years and years in New York. Of course, we bow down to Leonardo DiCaprio, fantastic coxman. We've identified Burgess Meredith, the great Burgess Meredith, actor who played Mickey in all the Rocky movies. One of the more under the radar coxmen, great stick man of his era. I mean, there's so many we could point out. Matt Dillon, fantastic stick man in the 80s and the 90s. Under the radar, they called him the stealth attacker. He was very, very much under the radar on the cover of magazines since he was a teenager. I believe his 18th birthday was celebrated at Studio 54. God only knows went down there. You know, and there's many, many, many others.
I got Prince as number one.
Well, I mean,
because he dressed as a woman, and he got all those women.
Well, he was
no one else did that.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. And he was, you know, the thing about when I think about Prince as a stick man, as a consummate stick man, is he was out of the game. You know, full fledged recently. You know, he was more into his religion and focusing on his music, but he was always still relevant. As a coxman, always a force to be reckoned with. You never knew when he would dip his toe back into the water. You never knew.
When he would come to the game with the baddest one you ever seen.
Right. You never saw him out with his homeboys. And I'm sure he had homeboys. But when he showed up in public, it was always with a dime piece.
Oh.
I mean,
he unearthed.
Men feared this and respected this. It's a very, very, a very, it's not a secret. They feared his power and his prowess as an unbiased and incomparable stick man.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the best of all time. The stamina and the staying power, the quality, the quantity. For years, from the late 70s through the 80s, through the 90s, through the day he passed, God bless this guy. He was always laying some purple pipe and unfolding the purple loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just, man, what a loss to music and I'm sure to his family and friends. And rest in peace, Prince. Your music and your influence and your skill set, your talent is going to be missed. You know, you brought the funk, he brought the noise. And he brought some of the baddest chicks to the party, and he's going to be missed.
Yes.
You know, we don't need to discuss all the hits and all the music. We wanted to celebrate the stick man, the consummate stick man.
My number one.
He's your number one. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to argue.
He looks like a woman.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. He was fantastic. You know, I saw him perform once in a small venue. It was at this place in Hollywood called the Roosevelt Hotel. It was one of these small concerts. It was one of these private concerts. It couldn't have been more than 500 people in the room. It was a room. And he got up there and first of all, it started like 4 a.m, which is so past what I'm capable of doing. But I was like, I got to see this shit. And I remember like Eve was in there. It was just like a bunch of people. And at one point, and he's doing all, like he was just, you know, going off the dome piece. He was doing songs I never heard of, doing covers of songs, doing, you know, some of the hits. And at one point, he would go up to people, and like while he was performing, he would like come off this small stage. And I'm saying like a small stage, like it was a small stage. He'd come off the small stage and play right in front of you. And at one point, he literally came in front of me where I didn't even have to stretch my arms out. I could have literally, with my arms half reached out in front of me, taken the guitar out of his hand. And he was playing that shit, and I made eye contact with him, and I was literally like panting like a girl. Like I can, because of the star power, because of the talent, like the way he had that guitar in his hand, it was like that shit was one with his body. So, I mean, everybody has a Prince story. He's so, I mean, I saw this Saturday Night Live thing they did for all the best Prince performances. And, he's just going to be missed. He's going to be missed. And,
yes, indeed.
You know, so obviously we had to mention that. The I Am Rappaport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses, Casper.com. It's an award-winning sleep startup. Go to Casper.com. $50 off purchase of any size mattress.
Yeah.
Put in the code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Casper Mattress in New York City. You could keep the bed for 100 nights. You could get your freak on for 100 nights. If you do not like the bed after 100 nights, you can return the mattress within 100 days. That's a guarantee. The bed will be delivered between 2 to 5 days anywhere in the United States and Canada. Same day delivery in New York City. We do not plug, we do not support, we do not take sponsorship from anything we have not tried and we are not passionate about 450%. Tom fucking Brady. The award-winning episode 45 of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, a.k.a. the Brady Bash, we demanded over a year ago that you hand in your shield. You're not Captain America. You're a cheating fuck. We said this.
Shout out to the judges.
we begged you to hand in your shield. And then they turned it. They suspended this fucking guy, and they turned it. And Moody, what did I say? What was my stance? After they said, okay, he's not getting suspended, remind the people, please, remind them that even I, what did I say? I backed off, right? I gave him the benefit of the doubt. What did I say?
You said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to shit on him. You know, we're going to see. He's going to play good. You was on his side.
Right.
You know.
I was on his fucking side.
It's on his side, and you said, "All right, let's end it. Let's move on."
You kept trying to bring it up, and I was like, "I don't want to talk about it anymore." They didn't suspend him. I gave him his cheekbones and his chin cleft chin, and his big blue eyes and his Cro-Magnon head. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said, "It's time to move forward."
Yeah, I crushed him.
You wouldn't let up.
No, because I knew he was a no good cheat.
And just today, a third party had to come in and intervene because Roger Goodell, they knew he was up to some shit.
Right.
And they put the suspension back down. So Tom Brady, you fuck you. You made me look bad. You made me look bad. So you know what we're going to do now, Tom Brady? We're going to break your fucking face again. All right? We're going to bust it up real nice. Do you want to start with him?
You get him, man.
I want to jump him.
Okay. Jump, all right, let's do.
I want to jump this fucking guy. I want to give him old Malachi Crunch. Do you know that he changed his contract around in the offseason? He knew it was happening. This is a fact. Look it up. He changed his contract around so he gets paid less in the first four games of the 2016-2017 upcoming NFL season. He knew they were coming to get him.
The Patriot way.
The cheating Patriot way. Where as long as you don't say shit, you could be a criminal, you could be a cheater, you could be a mass murderer, you could be a drug smoking, just mumbling coach fuck.
The judges agreed that the explanation for the destruction of the cell phone was ridiculous.
And now you're gonna sit out. Now just stop. Just fucking stop.
Take your
penalty, Mr. America. Okay? And take it like a man. You got caught.
Got caught.
Okay? And I don't know what more to say. I don't know where to even start or where to even end with this fucking guy. I mean, the fact that he changed his contract so he got paid less during the first four games that he's now... I don't even think how that could be legal. How is that allowed?
Right. This but is they a know, team guy.
They know all the ins and outs of how to fuck you over.
Yeah.
In Patriot land. And Bill Burr, let me tell you something, my friend. I know you're out there. I know you're doing your thing. And I know you think like, oh it's just a... No, you fuck. These Boston fans, the Bill Burrs, the fucking... The Dennis Learys, the Freddie Roaches, the Mark Wahlbergs, the Matt Damons, and the whole bunch of you. You just won't let it go. You won't admit that Captain America is really a cheating fuck. You right. just can't admit that. I could tell you that the fucking Knicks are in shambles. I could admit that. I could say that with a straight face and own up to it. But you guys, you just won't let up. You won't admit
right.
that your coach is a mumbling, stuttering, Jimmy the Chin cocksucker.
Yeah, and they talk about Cam Newton.
Right.
Right.
They hate Cam Newton because after he lost the Super Bowl, he didn't want to talk. Bill Belichick has not spoken win, lose, or draw anytime ever.
Word.
And when Cam Newton does it, he's a sore loser and he's all this. Bill Belichick, he never speaks. When they win the Super Bowl, he doesn't speak.
Yeah.
When they lose, he doesn't speak. It's an act.
Yeah. Yep. The whole shit is an act.
Yeah. So Brady, you hand in that shield and you come back on your hands and knees and you kiss the ring of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, and you ask for forgiveness.
You can't be the greatest quarterback of all time with a suspension on your docket.
And that
Joe Montana never got suspended.
Right.
You're out of that lexicon.
It's done. It's done. And not only have you shamed yourself and the Patriots, you've shamed Red Auerbach, Bill Russell, Larry Bird.
New edition. NOG.
Call Yastrzemski. They're all paying the price because of you.
Yeah.
And what's the owner's name? Kraft?
Robert Kraft, yeah.
Him and Gronk are at the Celtics game yucking up just hours before the suspension came down.
Yeah.
Gronkowski doesn't know shit anyway. Listen, if there was a second in command to be the Gringo Mandingo, I'd have to put him. Because my man is straight monkey style. He's a straight simian. He's a gorilla.
He looks like a Flintstone character.
Yo, he looks like some Barney Rubble shit. He can't read. He can't write. He doesn't know what fucking day of the week it is. They just line him up and he just runs over people.
Joe Rockhead.
Yeah, Joe Rockhead. We busted your hole. How do you like that, Tom Brady, huh? We opened him up real nice, real proper.
He's now confirmed as a cheater.
A true blue American cheater. And Aaron Hernandez is in his cell somewhere, fucking picking at his nose, chewing on his toenails, going, I could have told you this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. This is my time of the year, man. Every single day there's games on. I like the first round. I don't care. My Detroit Pistons and Stan Van Gundy, they got swept by LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. At one point during game four of a thing during a timeout, apparently they had to there was some red streaks around Ty Lue, and they said it was still remnants of the blood of David Blatt that was in his shoes, in his shoe print.
It's splatter over the shoe.
Yeah, just a little bit left. There's still a little bit of Blatt's blood on Ty Lue. I feel like Michael Jordan, I don't understand if it's some sort of sick joke or some motivational thing, but as Michael Jordan being the owner of the Charlotte, what are they, the Bobcats? The Hornets?
Yeah, Bobcats, I think.
The fucking Bobcats?
Yeah.
They have a must-win game, and they have to come out for an NBA game, grown men, in front of 20,000 fans in Charlotte, where basketball is such a part of the day in and day out culture. These guys have to play in uniforms that say Buzz City on the front.
Damn,
that's humiliating. That's not fair. That an NBA team should have to be playing in the playoffs with a jersey that says Buzz City.
Damn.
And Jeremy Lin has the balls big enough to play in his Buzz City jersey with a man bun. And this is his choice. No one's putting a gun to his head and saying, yo, Jeremy Lin, you got to have a man bun. But he chooses. I don't know if he thinks this is funny or somehow, you know, he lost the bet. But he's had the most fucked up hairstyles collectively all season. You look crazy. What happened to Lin's sanity? What happened to the passion? And the Toronto Raptors, there's still really nothing to do, because every time their Toronto Raptors are playing, the streets of outside the arena out there, they're packed. Still ain't shit to do in the six, huh? And I was sad to see the Memphis Grizzlies go. They were injury riddled, and you know, they always played tough. I like that team. I like the fans out there. They had a collective group of wackos and thugs, and I mean, with Z-Bo, who everybody's, you know, scared of him, my man Matt Barnes,
thugged out. I'll be sure. I like that guy.
Yo, I fuck with Matt Barnes' hard body karate.
Yeah, he's bopped that life.
Yeah, we call him Captain Lightskin. He's defending the dignity, the honor and dignity of all, like even when they try to muscle up Steph Curry, he starts to twitch, like he's ready to get on a plane and fuck some shit up.
Yeah,
it's the last of a breed in the NBA.
Yeah, he rose up from his couch when they roughed up Steph Curry.
Yeah, he's ready to set it off.
Yeah,
and I don't know now, man. Steph Curry got some kind of ACL, MCI, sore this, sore that.
He's out 2 weeks.
I don't know. I don't know, man. That's disappointing. But I guess Cleveland had to do it last year with Kyrie and Kevin Love, but it wasn't their number one guy.
Right.
But I don't know how they're gonna get this done. I just hope somehow, some way, either the Warriors and Steph Curry's knee heal, or the Spurs. Yeah, I feel like they have the kryptonite to stop Cleveland and LeBron. They always give him a hard time.
Yeah.
So I hope Steph Curry, you never want to see a guy like that get injured in the playoffs, but that's the way it goes down. And speaking of the playoffs, the Knicks are never associated with the playoffs.
Wait. Can we go back to San Antonio?
Oh, why not?
That guy, that guy we was talking about, number 40. From the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, the one who looks like a fucking caveman?
Yeah, man. So we have
His name? The number 40 on the San Antonio Spurs. He got a bad wife. This dude is like, what, 7'5"?
7'3". He got a bad little chickadee, man.
His wife is like 5'3", 5'4". It looks crazy.
And I'm figuring he needs a nickname.
Well, I mean, like what? I mean, like the big fundamental?
Yeah, like the big Aristotle. And to me, he looks like the big Galoot.
The
the big galoot.
Number 40 on the San Antonio Spurs. We don't know your name because that shit is hard. It's like Drago or something. What is his name?
Dragon? I don't know what it's called.
Yo.
He needs a nickname.
Yeah, the big galoot. He looks crazy, that dude. I'm sorry, we don't know Money's name. I can't. We don't fact check. I don't know if you've never listened to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. We're known and proud for never fact checking. But number 40, your nickname going forward is now the Big Galoot. What about this dude in Canada? I believe Money was in Canada. 30 years old. Playing high school basketball, a Sudanese, a Sudan refugee.
Oh.
Yo, you saw this guy?
Yeah.
He's in Canada, and he was arrested. He started fleeing. My man's name was like Jonathan Nicola. If he's from Sudan, I know that's not his real name.
Yeah.
But he had been playing high school basketball in Canada. And he's 30, and he had like a receding hairline, and like, you know, yo, 30's not even in, like, yo, this guy's crazy, man. 30's at the end of an NBA career. Yo, this, he's a Ukrainian dude. He's from the Ukraine.
Damn.
Playing in Canada with little kid, he could have killed somebody.
Yep.
He gets a 6'9", weighing over 200 pounds with a size 16 sneaker, frightening the kids. I hope he wasn't touching any girls, man, because this guy.
Yeah, I think he had relations, I think.
Yo, this guy, he gets a true blue. Wigga, please, what the fuck is you trying to do, man? You're going to kill somebody out there, man. And another thing in the news, you know, I never liked Bobby Knight. The only thing that I liked about Bobby Knight is that he punched a cop in the Pan Am Games in Puerto Rico. I always thought he was a bully, and he bullied his players, and he took things too far. I think he took himself too seriously. This fucking guy Bobby Knight, he screamed on me at basketball camp. I was at the 5-star basketball camp. He like shamed me when I like wasn't in my seat when the thing started.
What?
I hopped down like a scared dog. But he's showing up to the presidential pep rally in Indiana for D. Trump.
Of course. Who'd you think he'd be for?
Yo, man, I thought he would have more compassion and more sense about him, man. But
yeah, the guy who threw the chair on the court?
Right. Right. You want to try to, he's like, you know, some John Wayne. Do you think he'd want to beat up Donald Trump? He's such a tough guy. But he didn't do shit.
He's soft, Duke.
Yeah. Who's soft?
Bobby Knight, you soft, Duke.
Yeah, you soft, Duke. did you get a chance to see Beyonce's visual album?
I saw excerpts of it.
Lemonade?
Yeah, everybody's giving her a hard time because she's expressing her blackness.
Is that what's coming up now again?
Yeah, like she shouldn't be doing that. She was, sometimes an artist feels that they can't do that.
Right.
When they're coming out. So she feels like now I'm at a position where I don't have to hide that.
Right.
Right? Because that's what happens to a lot of black artists.
Right. And when came out, she was so young anyway. She didn't even know who she was as a woman and as a person. She's just a pop singer trying to get it popping.
Right. And she's growing, she's growing into herself as a woman. And, she wants to express herself this way. And I don't see why people would even be upset at that. She is black.
Right.
What the fuck?
I hear you. Listen,
part of the experience,
right? And the consciousness. It's a beautiful, it's a beautifully shot, beautifully directed. And I got to tell you, I haven't always, obviously I like Beyonce and I like a lot some of her songs, but I wouldn't say I'm a Beyonce like fan.
Right.
But the music in this Lemonade was dope and it was very soulful. And I think she should continue going into that soulful, that soulful area, because she has the ability and the talent, and it's obviously in her. But you're saying that the Lemonade visual song, an album, and video was about her blackness. Some people are saying it's about the cheating and her relationship with Jay-Z and something with that the designer Rachel Roy. And
I'm saying how could this motherfucker cheat and nobody not know? One of the most familiar faces on the globe. Come on, man.
I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that some of these dumbass fans, they went after Rachel Ray. You know Rachel Ray, the...
Rachel Roy. Rachel Ray is the cook.
Right, but some of the dumb fans went after Rachel Ray. So they're trying to attack Rachel Roy, the designer, and they're fucking with Rachel Ray, these dumb fucks. You dumb fuck, it's Rachel Roy, you dumb cocksucker, you. So Rachel Ray was like, yo, what are y'all bothering me for? I didn't fuck Jay-Z. Leave me alone. And I don't know. But I really think that it wasn't about Jay-Z. It wasn't about her relationship. It's not about her blackness. I've deciphered what Lemonade is about. It's a metaphor for the New York Knicks and New York Knicks fans. And break it down. It deals with the same shit that all of us go through. Intuition. We all had some sort of intuition deep in our souls that this shit would not ever work out with the Knicks. It deals with denial. We've been in denial for over 43 fucking years. It deals with hope. Our intuition kept us in fucking denial. And of course, now we have to find forgiveness in ourselves for continuing to love the fucking Knicks. How can we love that? This is a shameful love that Knicks fans have. So I disagree with you that it's about African-Americanness and blackness and Rachel Roy and Rachel Ray. She wrote a metaphor about the pain and suffering that every fucking Knicks fan has been going through for the last 40-something years. And you know
what? Patrick Ewing. Shouldn't Patrick Ewing and Phil Jackson?
Patrick Ewing should have been in the fucking video Lemonade. They had Serena Williams. They should have had Patrick Ewing walking along the beach crying.
Hey, Phil Jackson, what about Patrick Ewing? What are you going to do about that?
They're not going to do anything about him. He ain't coming to New York, man. They don't want him. He's down in Charlotte, and he looks like he has perpetual tears in his eyes. If you're taking a look at Patrick Ewing during the Charlotte Hornets, Miami Heat playoff series, he always looked like he's about to cry. Remember when he played? He was like, they called him the Warrior.
He's
looked
like
tough.
Fucking Bambi.
Yeah. They broke him, man. They broke the greatest Knick of all time.
Think about it. He sees Earl Watson get a coaching job. He sees them talk about Luke Walton.
He sees Ty Lue
get shuttled up to the head coaching. And he's down there taping ankles.
Shit. Give him a shot. Give him an interview. Give him something. Yo.
Give him something to
please.
See if he fails.
Yo. Jeez. Please, man. Bring him back to New York City. And speaking of New York City, Mack Weldon is a New York City-based company that lives and breathes New York City. They make the best underwear, t-shirts, socks at Mack Weldon, and they even have soft-ass sweatpants and sweatshirts that are very comfortable, and they wash and dry fantastic. They don't lose shape or their integrity when you throw them in the laundry machine. Comfortable, soft, light materials and fabrics. You could shop online for Mack Weldon products on your mobile phone and check out in less than a minute. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable and look good. It's perfect for the guy on the run or perfect for the guy going for a run. Personally, I'm a little bit of both. You could use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, and save 20% off your first order at Mack Weldon, M-A-C-K-W-E-L-D-O-N. Your underwear, your socks, your t-shirts, all soft, all comfortable, at a really fair price. Go to MackWeldon.com. And don't forget to use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, to save 20% off your first order on all the fantastic gear at MackWeldon.com. I'm wearing some of the underwear right now. You know what it feels like? I feel like I'm floating in cotton.
Straight cotton. Yo.
One of the greatest of all the greats. I don't even know where to start with what this guy means to me and to so many other people. The great, beautiful, inspiring, fantastic New York City native Al Pacino turned 76 today.
Wow.
The great Man. Al Pacino. Yeah. I mean, yo, I we do the Robert De Niro line of the week. We could easily do the Al Pacino line of the week. I need to pick up my pace on that.
Yeah, get on that.
I need to pick up my pace on the Al Pacino line of the week because shit, man. I mean, we're talking about The Godfather. We're talking about The Panic in Needle Park. We're talking about Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, The Godfather Part 2. He had a run like no other.
Right.
I mean, one of the best ever. Author, Sea of Love, all the great stage work. One of the best theater actors ever.
Top five dead or alive.
Top five DOA, for sure. Top five DOA. I love this dude. Scarface.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. He's done some of his best work, you know, in TV movies. He did that Angels in America on HBO. Beautiful performance. You know, you see, again, you talk about the Oscars and getting jerked.
Right. Yeah.
None of the performances that I named, he won an Oscar for. What did he win an Oscar for? In my opinion, you know, it's Pacino. It's never going to be bad. But was it his greatest? He wins for Scent of a Woman. It goes to show, again, the Oscars are not, it's not an arm wrestling contest. There's no straight winner or loser. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of mistakes. Al Pacino did not win an Oscar for Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, The Godfather, The Godfather Part 2. There wasn't even the discussion of nominating him for Scarface. Sea of Love. I'm forgetting so many different things. You know why I'm forgetting him, G. Monetti? Because I'm going raw dog without a bag, off the dome piece.
That's right.
We don't fact check here at the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast ever. Something that's disturbing me, and I want you to chime in on this.
Wait, can I tell you what I was talking about?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just a little fired up.
This is a quick thing.
No worries. Take your time. G. Monetti, please take your time.
Thanks.
You know, some of the lines and some of the your points of views have been pointed out in the last few weeks as some of the great things ever. I think somebody's starting a Wikipedia page for you now.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Take your time. You never have to say real quick.
All right.
The fans love you. The people love G. Monetti.
All right. I had the privilege of going to a hockey game. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Went to the Rangers game, playoff game last week. Friend of mine, Damon Mason, who made the documentary film Soul on Ice, introduced me to hockey. Great game. I'm a fan now.
You were never, that was the first time you were ever at a hockey game?
First time.
What was it like in there? It was a New York Rangers playoff game, right?
Yeah, and they lost, but the game is so intense, man. It was great to see the speed of the puck, the speed of the athletes, how they can skate and move the stick. And, yo, I was impressed.
What was the crowd like in the Garden?
They was hyped until Pittsburgh got up 3-0.
They got up
3-0. It was over.
Shit. Yeah. But was it packed? Like, was the energy packed. Different from, like, being at a Knicks game?
It was more energy.
More energy.
Yeah. It was playoffs.
Right. So they were hyped in there, right? And they chant and they go crazy the whole time.
And I like that it's like a grounded sport. It's like they serve hot dogs, pretzels, beer.
Right.
That's the culture.
Right. I hear you.
Man, shit.
Right.
And the guys came out of the locker room. All of them had suits on. Nobody was with Ringling Brothers shit.
Right.
They were suited and booted, all of them.
Those hockey players are big dudes, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I love the guys, man. They're good.
All right. Well, we should do that. We should start fucking with hockey a little bit, balance things out.
Yeah, we got them, man.
Something that's been going on within the Rapper Pack, very upsetting. I noticed this the other day. My son Maceo was celebrating his 14th birthday. And after some of the celebrations and in between the dinner and such, I go on Twitter and I see DMs. I'm reading the feed from the I Am Rappaport podcast. I'm getting tagged in the stuff. And I see that there's beef within the Rapper Pack. The Rapper Pack is the hardcore fans of the Ian Rappaport Stereo podcast. And this made me very sad. I don't know what the hell started the beef within this group of rabid, the best fans, wouldn't you say, in the podcast business, Monetti?
Best fans ever.
So supportive, but just a few days before the blow up within the epicenter of the Rappapack, I had been saying we needed to look out for double agents and secret agents. And now it comes out that you know, when you're building a dynasty, these things happen. There's interfighting. It's a family. I'm here publicly. I'm not naming any names. I'm not taking sides. I don't know any of the details of it. But the Rappapack cannot self-implode.
Word.
All loaves do matter. And all members of the Rappapack, race, gender, sex, or other, they all matter. All you have to do to be down with the Rappapack is to be down with the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. We have representatives from France, Australia, all over the United States, California,
Thailand.
Where else have we seen? Italy. We have a great fan in Italy. He's translating my fuck style is Buck Wild. He did it in Italy. It sounded like poetry. He called me the El Gringo Mandingo. Now to find out that there's interfighting within the Rappapack. There's no pack on pack crime. There never can be any pack on pack crime. I don't know if we need to come out with like a song like Self Destruction, or We're All in the Same Gang or something like that. Monetti, do you want to add to this? Because I find this very upsetting. I told you, I text you and say this is very upsetting to me. You're laughing, like thinking this is a joke, like this is not serious. Please chime in. You're a peaceful guy. They used to call you fun loving as a kid.
I have to say, we're all in the same pack.
Right, right.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I don't know. I'm just, please, I'm begging the Rappapack to stop, to stop fighting with each other. They fired Kurt Schilling from ESPN. And at first I was thinking, maybe they did him wrong, but Kurt Schilling, he's a fucking whack job. He's been saying wild shit for a long time. And all those, I get some of the things he says. You know, if you have a broadcasting job for a major company like ESPN, you need to get control of yourself. And of course, I never liked Kurt Schilling from the fact that he was a Red Sox with his famous, bloody Red Sox. We don't work for ESPN, so we could finish show off what Kurt Schilling was talking about.
Yeah.
There's a show on Amazon that I really like called Transparent. Emmy award-winning show. It's about a sort of dysfunctional, functional family in California, and the patriarch, the father of the family, this is before Bruce Jenner came out, the father of the family decides he wants to get, he's a transgender, yada, yada. It's very well written, very, very well directed. I enjoy it. I like the show, although sometimes I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But they, on the set of Transparent, which I watched both seasons and loved, on the set of this show, there's been some beef because the real cast, and the extras, they have actual transgender people on the set and in the production and so and so and so and so. And the crew on the show, Transparent, is getting upset because now they want to have, what is it called? They want to have no rules and regulations in the bathroom. They want to have all access bathrooms.
Right.
And I want to say a few things about this. Monetti, when you've been out and about, have you ever been in a co-ed bathroom? Like in a restaurant? I've been to a couple of them in a couple of restaurants in LA, a couple of restaurants in the city, and a couple of nightclubs. Have you ever been in a bathroom where it's men and women?
Yeah, a couple.
Now, I got to tell you this. Me as a man, when I'm taking a squirt at a urinal, okay, and I'm standing there with my loaf in my hand, I don't want to see another woman walk in to want to go into the stall. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to speak on all women, I'm pretty sure there's no woman out there in the world that wants to walk into a bathroom and see me, the Gringo Mandingo, holding my loaf, taking a piss, while you're going to clean yourself off or powder yourself up from dinner. Correct me if I'm wrong, but do you think that there's any woman out there in the world that wants to walk into a bathroom? And I'm as good as it gets. Men's rooms are a disgusting, vile place.
Yeah, I don't know. The women,
women don't want to come in there for that shit.
Right, right, exactly.
And no woman wants to walk into any place while 10 or 11 guys are holding their loaves and turn, because most of the time, correct me if I'm wrong, Monetti, when you're in the bathroom, when the door opens, don't you look over your shoulder? It's just like a habit. Like you look back to see what's going on. Like it's just a habit. For me, I always kind of peek over my shoulder.
Right.
I'm going to double take if I see some woman walk in there. Now imagine a woman walks in there and 11, 12 dudes who are pissing in a urinal, they make eye contact with this woman.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to come in there to powder herself off.
Word.
Or to go to the bathroom.
Dangerous too.
It is dangerous because, like I said, I'm as good as it gets. I'm not going to say anything to you. I'm civilized. I'm not. You know, although I'm the Gringo Mandingo, I am civilized. You know, it's 2-3 in the morning. Guys got a little drink in them.
Yeah.
Women come in there. I just don't think it's appropriate. Men piss all over the floor and nasty fucks.
And then you have me in the corner taking a nuclear dump.
Right. You think that any woman wants to walk into a bathroom with G Monetti taking a dog shit? And so listen, I don't know how to resolve this shit. I listen, we're pro woman, we're pro gay and lesbian community, top to bottom. Yeah. We were invited to go to North Carolina and podcast. We will not podcast down in North Carolina.
Well, what's wrong with what they doing down there?
Let me stay on this. Now they have these transgender on this set of the show Transparent. They want these bathrooms where it's an all for one, one for all bathroom. And if you've been on sets before, these bathrooms are small on movie and television sets.
Now, hell yeah.
Yeah, like men don't want to be in there with the women, and the women don't want to be in there with the men. I don't know what to say about this. This is getting too far. And if you buck up at it, if you don't say that you're totally down with it, if you don't say that you totally agree with it, you know what you're considered? A homophobe. You're not don't support the gay and lesbian community. You're not trans passionate and all these other different things. Sorry, no. I don't know what to tell you. Listen, we need to figure it out for everybody, but it needs to be for everybody. This shit can't be forced down your throat. And if you don't agree with it 150%, if you're not on board with it, you're labeled as a homophobe and you know, some sort of hater. I'm not a hater, but I certainly don't want my son walking into the bathroom with some Andre the Giant-ass dude in a dress to scare the shit out of my son when I'm not there. You have a daughter, right, Moody?
Yeah. Yo.
And I wonder, do these transgender people, like, do they want their kids in a bathroom where just any Joe Schmo woman or man? Like, if you have a son, a woman shouldn't be able to come into the bathroom. And like, if you have an 11-year-old who, like, my kids are older, they can go in the bathroom by themselves. But when they're little kids at school, it's the boys' room and the girls' room. So if you send your 13-year-old, your 12-year-old into the bathroom at the movie theater and in walks a woman, that's not comfortable for them.
Right. And yo, why do they have a problem with just, why won't we just have separate bathrooms for them? Or they don't want that.
I don't know. It's expensive.
It's an easy solution. You just don't want to have another bathroom for you. But you have to do that unless your shit is cut off.
Right. Right.
That's what I think.
I don't know how it's going to work. But I'm not going to be, you know, pushed around and consider that, you know, I'm not compassionate and that, you know, that I'm not this, I'm not that, just because I don't agree with these things. And that's what it's being. You're being manipulated. You're being bullied. Yeah. It's essentially they're bullying people that don't agree with them 150%. I don't agree with that shit. It's bullshit. And another thing, you know, a couple of episodes ago, Monetti, you were talking about the I Am Kate show. And you referred to one of the cast members as
James Harrison.
No, I don't. Yeah, you referred to the African American transgender person on the show there as a.
Oh, the little black one.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's what you said. And yeah. and we got our email, and I wanted to address the email. Listen here. Listen. If you take what we're doing here at the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast seriously and sincerely, God bless you. I appreciate it, but you got the wrong podcast. You need to go down the dial, fuck with NPR, Anderson what? Cooper or somebody who knows what the fuck they're talking about. We pride ourselves on not fact-checking shit.
Yeah.
Our opinions are our opinions. They're fun. They're exaggerated. Yep. And we never intentionally mean to offend anybody. But, of course, that's part of, you know, being, you know, the greatest stereo podcast out there. It's going to happen. So I don't know what to say about that. I'm sorry that you were offended that G. Monetti referred to the African American transgender as
the little black one.
But I don't think it was meant to be in any kind of way.
I'm black.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't remember the woman's name. But she sent us a few emails. She was offended, and we're humbly responding the best we can. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's popping. Miles, let me get some funk. Let me breathe and get my thoughts together. What else is cracking, Monet? Play me some of that left rack. That left rack
shit. Get that left rack going.
What's good, Monetti?
Man, it's a lot of things going on, man. A lot of crazy stuff. I see a cat still dancing and shit.
Well, where?
Guys, I see the videos. They're all guys dancing together. They're in the clubs. Oh, you know, they're all dancing together. And that got me to thinking, like, yo, I've known you for a long time, man. And we went to all the hip-hop clubs, all the Union Squares and all that. We never went to the club with the intention of me and you dancing together.
No, no.
The intention was to maybe, hopefully, get a number, dance with a chick, rub up on her a little something, right? And then hit me, break out.
Yeah, I never, ever went to a club with the intention of dancing with G. Monetti. Ever.
And just dismiss and ignore all the chicks. That's what bugs, I can't understand it because I know how we used to do it.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand.
We're trying to get something.
We went to the clubs for a long... I never, ever, ever even... It never crossed my mind to try to dance with you in the club, G. Monetti. And I consider you a brother. But it was just never something that crossed my mind.
That's my point, exactly. I just don't get it.
I know. I understand. It's the I Am Rapoport Stereo Podcast. We're coming live and direct.
You know, I was looking at this Little Kim, you know, put pictures. She's so proud on her Instagram of her transformation. So it got me to thinking about a KRS lyric. And it's like, if you're not ashamed of original black, then why does your hair look like that? Why is your nose straighter from surgery? I think you are you're really in a state of emergency.
Mm.
This woman is really sad. It's the outward expression of internalized self-hatred.
Damn.
That's all it is.
I got to tell you, man. I saw those pictures, that little Kim. It's been all over the internet. Somehow or another, she's transformed herself into a 15-year-old white girl. I never seen anything like this shit.
Jenny. Like little Penny, little Jenny.
Yo, she looks like Kylie Jenner or some shit like that. I don't know, like Marsha Brady. She don't even look like she got. It looks crazy, man. I don't understand what she's doing to herself. She's ruined her face, ruined her whole look. And if she ever had any chance of continuing to be, you know, considered anything in hip hop, she can't. I don't care if she made the best song she's ever made. The way she looks, it's so distracting. It's so crazy. And you know, I don't think anyone could ever take her serious because if you're looking at her, you'd just be like baffled. You'd be shocked and awed by what she's done to herself. It's
the Watermelon Man. It's like the Godfrey Cambridge shit.
Oh.
It's I'm gonna say what it really is. It's traitor shit. It's like for me, as a black person, to see another, it's like you're a fucking traitor. It's like, yo, you shouldn't be allowed to come back to the black community.
Man.
You shouldn't be. There's certain shit you need to just be expelled. Get the fuck out of here, man.
I hear you. I hear you, man.
You know, I'm not with none of that. Love yourself.
Yeah.
And what does that tell her fans, the little fans that maybe like her?
It's bad, man. What she did to her face and her body is really way out there. It is really, really way out there.
Like you expect to get pats on the back for that?
You're not Christine Aguilera. She tried to look like Christine Aguilera or Britney Spears or some shit. She not.
Yeah. I wonder what's the target. It's some white chick that's the target in her head.
Farrah Fawcett?
Like Jane Pauley or one of them motherfuckers from back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what she did, man. Little Kim, I don't know, man. She's like Benjamin Button shit. She's like, she went backwards. Like, she just, like, I don't know.
It's the gentrification shit. Her ass trying to stay in Bed-Stuy. Trying to blend in shit. Trying to blend in.
Shit, yeah. But I'm not taking responsibility for that shit, Duke. What was the other thing you tried to put on me that I said I denied?
What, the feminization? What, the clothes and
Oh,
shit?
Yeah, you tried to blame me for that shit. I'm not taking responsibility for that.
Yo, the NBA is going to have to shut down all this dancing.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it.
They're going to have to shut because it's making a mockery out of the game.
And dudes are going to start fighting. It's going to be the dancer. Huh? It's like the fucking Jets and the Sharks. It's like West Side Story out there. It looks like fucking West Side Story before an NBA playoff game. That's not good.
Imagine you seeing Sidney Moncrief and Ricky Pierce doing a fucking hucklebuck before the game.
Yeah, you see Moses Malone and Doc Irving doing the fucking electric slide before game five of a playoffs. I say game five because they said faux, but it was really faux, five, faux. Imagine that.
And they do an electric slide.
Doc and Maurice Cheeks and Moses Malone is at the head of the line shit with his knee braces.
Word.
Come on, man.
Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Memo.
You're going to have to do something, man. It's one thing, like, the game should absolutely be entertainment, but it's not fucking danceteria out there.
Fucking rerunning shit.
You know that I read an article that they say, you know, I only quote articles that I like if they go my way somehow, but, you know, they say that people who curse a lot are highly intelligent. And I just wanted to say that it was a science alert. I read this in an article. They say, you know, because I've been accused of not sounding intelligent because some people say cuss, some people say swear. I just say that I say fuck too much. Science has your back. The study found out that if you have a healthy repertoire of curses, it says that you have a richer vocabulary than those who don't. So, I fucking...
We got it.
Yeah, I win again.
Word, we got it.
Yeah. What else, Moody?
Hey, man.
I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to say one more thing. Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Yo, sometimes I engage unnecessarily with people popping shit on Twitter. Yo, you're not living off the name, the game, and the fame of the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. I'm just blocking you now. So if you try to talk greasy, you better come with something interesting or funny, because I'm not engaging with just any Joe Schmo just because I'm taking a shit while listening to your Twitter.
Word.
I'm just blocking shit.
Let the soldiers get that.
Yeah, I'm gonna let the soldiers. I'm gonna let the all loving, healthy, totally functional rapper pack get at them, and I'm just blocking shit. There's some website. I'm not even going to say the name. I'm not even giving the credit.
Yeah.
They're on there trying to get my attention. They don't even... Listen, learn how to... There's a T at my end, at the end of my name, Duke. Yeah. It's Rappaport. The T ain't silent.
Word.
I'm not French. No croissants over here. There's none of that. Hit the tea, get your mind right, and then come talk to me. G Monetti's gonna be in Los Angeles soon.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't call it. We're doing a live show. We're gonna give the dates in Los Angeles. Again, soft ass, I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirts. You can find them at districtlines.com/ I Am Rappaport. districtlines/ I Am Rappaport for all soft ass I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirts. I'm rocking the Jake right now in black. It's beautiful. What else, Moody?
Man, cop them tees, man. They're soft. Great design, great designers.
Yes, so, great designs, cop. Great designers.
That's it, man.
That's it. What, you got a request of a beat to that Miles should take us out on? Miles Davis? Pick one. What's some of the new bangers?
Oh, man.
You know what? Wait, cue back that left rack again. Let me get that left rack one more time to take us out. Because sometimes we play these beats, they're like one-offs. People want to hear them again and again.
Right.
Let me get that left rack again. Miles, this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, and we're signing off until next time. We're out.
We're out.
We're out.